Blog Talk Radio. can understand me like I understand you. Now, baby, I know the difference between right and wrong. I ain't gonna do nothing to upset our happy home. Children, when we argue for the fight, hey,
you don't know.
If you don't lie now,
you will never, never, never know.
You'll never, never, never know me. My, hey,
if you don't know,
if you don't
lie now,
if you don't. Our own funny moves. I've got mine. Woman, you got yours too. Just trust in me like I trust in you. As long as we've been together, that should be so easy to do.
All right, you guys, we are back. I have 516 on the line. Can you hear me? 516, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, now I can hear you. I apologize for that. I got all these different mics up in here.
No problem.
Okay, Mr. Nugent.
Yes, this is Mr. Vernon Nugent. Junior, yes it is. In the voice.
I got it. Okay, could you hear me earlier?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't hear anything. I just heard silence.
Yes, you know, it was something going on. Anyway, we got to fix hopefully. Okay.
Okay.
Let's start like this. Let's start by you telling me just a tad bit of your history of who you are. And how would we say that? Where your conclusion, I mean, not your conclusion, but what gives you the assumption that you made to make this whole thing, get the ball rolling? Can you give us that?
Well, first of all, let me just thank you for inviting me to participate on your program.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, let me do that. And to answer your question, what got me to engage in this subject? Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. First off, I do listen to Tommy Sotomayor. I listen to his programs because I feel that he brings up very interesting points that cover attitudes that have been pretty much a major how can I say it? A major identifying point when you see certain black women with their attitudes. And not many people talk about this.
Okay?
Not many people talk about it. You're not going to hear, mainstream really pick at the black woman attitude that we see depicted on Tommy's videos in the way he does. And so I brought up the point of a clip that I saw with Minister Louis Farrakhan and what he was speaking about certain behavior patterns that certain black women have in terms of overspending, in terms of materialism, you know. And I wanted to bring that into the topic of the room to see what the opinion of those people who criticized Tommy Sotomayor, I wanted to hear what they were going to say about the minister. Because he felt at that time, and I believe that was a speech that he gave sometime back in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken, but he felt at that time, and that was even 20 years ago, 20-something years ago, so now, fast forward to 2013, and it's still a major issue, but you see that he thought that it was important to speak on that as well. And in 20 years earlier, we did not see a lot of the black women attitude that we see today, the negativity, the confrontation that we normally see in a lot of black women today. Now, I'm not saying all, but many. The stereotypical characterizations that we see on television with reality TV shows, that persona. You know, you see a lot of...
Let me stop you there. So why do you think that it's like that? Why do you think now that this is coming out? What do you think that's creating this so-called black attitude with women?
Well, first of all, this has been something that has been spoken about a long time. It's now coming into the forefront thanks to internet. But many men like myself who recognize respect in women, recognizing how to respect a woman, have been brought up to respect a woman, okay? And then when you see a woman that does not respect herself based on the way she presents herself, then that's where men like myself, and I'm assuming men like Tommy Sotomayor and other men can actually speak about the contradictory nature that we see in women. You know, a lot of women say they demand the respect. You're going to respect me. You're going to do this. You're going to do that to me. You're going to respect me. Well, if you want to be respected, then you need to exhort that same demand for yourself. What makes any woman think that she's going to get respect from a man if she's showing that same man that she doesn't respect herself? So to answer your question, with the use of the internet and the fact that there's been an over, I guess you could say, over-dramatization of this attitude that we are seeing throughout the television programs, the music, you name it, now it's getting to the point where the real good, you know, the brothers who are really paying attention to this are going to speak out. And it's a criticism to that type of behavior. It's not a criticism to black women as a whole, stereotyping all black women and saying that they act like this. It's a criticism to that behavior certain black women act. And if you come from a black woman, you shouldn't hate a black woman. That's what a lot of these women don't understand. When we criticize the behavior of certain black women, it's not to say that all black women are this way. We're criticizing a behavior that we are not accustomed to seeing on a regular basis. That's why we're criticizing it in the first place. If we were used to it, we wouldn't say nothing about it.
Okay.
So obviously the men that have been affected by this type of portrayal and the way that certain women act, we're gonna talk about it. We don't like it one bit.
So the way that you talk about it, you call them bitches and you call them hoes, you call them STD infested, you call them all these nasty.
Oh, hold on a second. When did I ever refer to?
I'm not talking about you. Okay.
Let's make that clear because you're saying that I talk about. I never said anything.
Listen to what I'm saying. I use the word you. I am saying in a generalization. You said it in a generalization with some women, and you said some men don't, so I'm using it in the same generalization. The idea that it's all right to call black women, black bitches, hoes, STD, this, that, nappy-headed hoe, what they call it, wearing them hats on their heads, and do you think that's the way you handle a situation like that? Or do you find somebody that you know who act like that and pull them to the side or send them to another young lady who's very professional or very ladylike and show them to teach them how to do this? Is it all right for you guys to sit up and talk about them instead of finding a way to help them? That's my problem with the whole situation. We sit up here and we talk about the person. Do you know, and I always have this problem with people, have you walked in that person's shoes? Do you know why she's so angry? Do you know what she's been through? Do you know how her background is? Do you know why she's always fighting and all this? You don't, if you don't, you haven't walked in her shoes, you can't make an assumption that this is how she wants to be. You don't know what she's been through. Nobody knows what that person's been through. And that's hard, and that's very, to me, we become so ignorant because we professionals or we people who make these judgmental calls, we don't look behind the curtains. We just go by what someone is seeing on the outside. We don't know how much that young lady is hurting. We don't know when she goes home at night who's kicking her tail or who's raping her or doing beating her. We don't know that. We just see what it's showing on TV or what it's showing on these videos and the internet. We don't know her story. So that's why I thought this would be a good platform to bring this out. And I've always been a person to believe if you know my story, you understand where I'm at. If you know my story, you need to understand I'm in the valley right now. I'm trying to fight my way out. If you know my story or my background, you know why I'm the way I am. I'm formed this way. We always take that front. And because, like you said, the internet, the videos and stuff, that's what they show. You don't know what that person had to do that day to even get up in the morning.
Well, I don't know. And you're right. I do not know. But let me say this, okay? Let me say this. I'm not, first of all, let me clarify what you said in the beginning of your statement. Number one, I never referred to any black woman as a bitch or a hoe.
I never said you did.
Oh, well, I'm clarifying this for the record for your viewers and, oh, excuse me, your listeners. Because anyone that knows Vernon Nugent Jr. knows I do not talk about women that way. And I went on the record in that chat room that you and I met at, and I said that I have a problem with certain parts of Tommy Sotomayor's delivery and how he describes women. I said that. And I will say that here on your show, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, let's make that clear, because anyone that knows Vernon Nugent Jr. knows I don't refer to women like that. I don't talk about women like that. I don't ever call them out their name like that. That's not how I've been raised. But I do feel that the message is very important, because it is something that has been dominating the stereotypical attitude. And when you see people on the outside, not just on an internet program, not just on a TV show, not just in a movie screen, when you see women portray the very same attitude that they see on those shows, okay, I'm not going to sit there and say, well, what is she doing inside her house? Is she getting beat? I'm not going to ask that question. Why? Because I go by what somebody shows me on the outside. Okay, that's what I do. I don't assume anything. If somebody has a problem and they've been beaten, abused, you see, that's another thing. A man like me, we were not raised. I grew up in the 70s. I'm 40 years old. I don't know if you know that. I'm not no 20-year-old little kid that watches these videos and tries to copy what I see on a TV. I'm a grown man. I grew up with two parents in the home, a father who I like to call Cliff Huxtable before Cliff Huxtable even existed, okay? I was raised by two parents, my father and my mother, in the home. My father grounded me to be a responsible, respectful man. My mother, she raised me to respect women as well. I have a sister who is 3 years younger than me, and I respect her and look after her and make sure no one hurts her. So You can sit here and say that it's wrong for, and I agree, it's not right to call any woman out their name. I don't do that, and I never did that. I don't use the word bitch or hoe. I don't describe women that way. And that's one of the things that I said that I disagree with Tommy Sotomayor's delivery. However, back to the message at hand. The message at hand is talking about the attitudes we see. Okay? Women, black women as a whole, okay, they're the ones that pretty much set the structure. You know, I like to call a black woman in the case of courtship, I like to call a black woman a person who's the security guard. Do you agree with that?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And I say the security guard because, you see, you have a premise to guard. And that premise is your vagina. Okay? Because in order for that vagina... Excuse me? I'm sorry.
Okay.
In order for that vagina to be approached, okay, whether it's by the male anatomy or even before we even get to that part, in order for a man to approach a woman, that woman is supposed to guard her premise. So if she doesn't guard her premise and allows the man to enter inside the premise, and then on top of that allows the man to enter inside of her vagina without doing the due diligence to make sure that the person that's knocking at the door is worthy of coming inside the house, figuratively speaking and literally, you know, if those things aren't done, who's to blame? I mean, if those things aren't done by the woman, because that's her responsibility, and I'm not discounting the man's responsibility, because I know and I speak about these brothers walking around with their pants off their ass. I hate that, because that makes men like me look bad. And anyone can tell you that I am just as outraged with these brothers walking around with their pants off their behinds, acting a fool. But because I focus on the woman's actual attitude, okay, and the fact that I see how certain women carry themselves, that is where I raise the question of how the portrayals can hurt a community.
Okay. Now, I hear what you're saying and everything, and again, it goes back to the education of that person. How important is the education? Are they getting the proper education? Do they understand the concept of who they are? And have they talked to someone about how they feel with the attitude? You know, I guess, I'm talking from a woman's point of view. I'm talking from a woman's point of view when it comes to, now I'm not, I want you to understand, I'm not making excuses, because a lot of things that you have said, and I'm the type of woman, I'll step up. I agree with you. But we have to look at the whole picture. We have to look at why these young ladies act like this. You said you were raised in a house that was Cliff Huxtable way before he ever even existed on TV. Okay, that's fine and dandy. Everybody didn't have that privilege, okay? Everybody didn't be raised in a home where there's mother and father. And to be honest with you, that really doesn't matter anymore, because you can have a father at home that's very, very not productive. It's not even here. He goes to work, comes home, and that's all he does. And the mother is still a single parent. Just because the dad's in the house doesn't necessarily mean that the dad is doing his dad duties. So I don't go for that. It could be two parents in the house anymore. I've noticed, and I've been around children that have two parents, loving parents, and they still have issues because those issues were ignored. So I think when it comes to women, and because of our history, I think it's very important that our men step up to the plate, and if they've got the opportunity and the experience to know how to handle a woman, that they teach these young girls this. Everybody, and we have to get these young girls to understand, everybody's not trying to get between their legs, okay? It takes two to tangle, and I've always said that. It takes two to tangle. It could take him to be mature enough to say, I'm not going to do this, and for him to walk away. But majority of the time, a man ain't going to walk away from sex. He's not going to. And he's going to indulge, whether it's dangerous for her or whether it's dangerous for him. They're going to indulge. So the end result is you have this kid that's born out of wedlock that's trying to struggle just to make it. She's angry. She's being molested by her mom's boyfriend. She's getting beat up by the kids at school. She's
going through a lot. Do you know for sure all black women like that have been molested by the mom's boyfriend? How could you say that?
No, hold up. I'm not saying all women. I said some women. You have to know their history. And I'll keep saying that. If you don't know their history, every woman is not mean and hateful and want to fight everybody. That's not a normal reaction to anything in life. So it has to be something wrong.
Well, the thing is, you're making a blanket statement when you say that, you're saying maybe. Okay, that's fine. Maybe it could be that person may be going through that situation. But you don't know for sure what their situation could be for them to act like that.
Okay, but you don't know their situation and why they're acting like that either. So it doesn't give us, either one of us, the right to put a name, a label.
No, but I do know the word self-respect. Okay, and
okay,
I do know that if somebody portrays themselves to be a confrontational, loudmouth, argumentative, attention-seeking drama queen, I'm not going to sit there and ask that person, well, maybe it's because she was abused. You know what I'm going to do? I, as a person that doesn't put up with that in my own circle, I will turn away and let that person deal with their own misery. You see, the problem is...
Hold up. You said you'll turn your back and go on about your business. But yes,
that's right.
You're sitting up there talking about them. You're talking about them.
Well, you know something? I have a right to, though. And I have a right to make a decision for myself that's going to impact my life. If I'm going to deal with a person that is a confrontational person, or if I choose not to, that's entirely up to me. I have a right to make a choice.
Okay.
Just like the woman has a right to make a choice. She slept with the man who tried to get in there and leave her with the kids. That's her choice. People need to be responsible for their choices. Okay? I can't tell you what to do because, first of all, a lot of women don't like to be told anything. They like to do what they want to do on their own. You can't tell nobody what to do. I can make a suggestion. Okay? But if I make a suggestion to you, the point is you could either listen or not. And so many women have their heads so far up the sky with that attitude, they don't want to hear nothing.
Okay.
And they're
so
not going to want to hear nothing from me.
So does that go for a man, too? He don't want to hear what a woman has to say either because she's
That's
not
the point. There's more baby boys in this world than there's a lot of baby boys. Now, well, let's talk about the baby boy.
Well, what's the baby boy? Yeah, let's talk
the
about
baby boy, the baby boy is a guy. This is what a baby boy is. A man who, a grown man, who still has childlike tendencies, little boy tendencies, doesn't have a job, depends solely on his woman for financial status, for financial money.
Okay.
Just basically uses the woman to get to where he needs to be in life. That's the baby boy. That's a man who lacks any responsibility of being a man or providing for himself. That's what a baby boy is.
Okay. So have you encountered any baby boys that you tried to mentor?
All the time. And let me tell you this. When I speak to baby boys, I tell them about the Trayvon Martin situation. Okay, I talk about Trayvon Martin because, you see, there's a lot of stereotypes that black men face as well. I'm sure you know. But the point is, the voice of the black woman is 50,000 times louder than the voice of a black man. Because anytime a black man has anything to say about whatever he finds critical or to criticize what he sees, you know, women will gang up on him and try to, deflect the actual attack. And they take it personally. They get defensive. You see, you know, when it comes to a black man being criticized, we have to take it. Okay? If you attack a man who wears his pants off his ass and you call him a weak-ass man, I'm not going to sit up here and defend him because that's what he is. And I'm not going to put myself in his shoes because that's not what I am. So when a man speaks about what an attitude of a woman or a specific attitude that he sees that certain black women act and he speaks about that, then you as a woman who seems to get that maybe these women are struggling or something, you need to accept that and understand that this is what the reaction of that attitude is going to give. You can't attack a man for speaking his mind and speaking his opinion of what he sees from someone else. And let me ask you this question, if I can. If I can, let me just ask you this question.
Okay.
The comedian Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that he attacked dark-skinned women? Did you remember that when he did that?
Actually, I'm not a Kevin Hart fan, so
okay,
no.
All right. Well, let me tell you what he did. Kevin Hart made a comment that was very offensive to black women, dark-skinned women. Okay? And in that dark-skinned woman's comment, he pretty much insulted dark-skinned women.
Okay.
Now, how come Kevin Hart still has over 7 million likes on his Facebook page? Mostly
because
by dark-skinned women.
Yeah, because you know why? Because we have identity problems, too. Dark-skinned women, we have identity problems. We think it's acceptable for people to call us out of our names. Some of us, not all of us. We accept the bitches, the hoes, and because you have us women sometimes call us, I'm a bitch, I'm a bad bitch, I'm a this, I'm a that. We don't, oh, that's a hoe, and I'm a hoe, I'm a damn good hoe. Believe me, let me say something to you. I know that it's out there. I'm saying I am not going to sit here and say that I'm going to put myself on a judgment seat and say that I'm going to agree with how they see themselves or how other people see them. I don't agree with that. I think every woman has an opportunity to be something better than what everyone sees her as. So I don't have this attitude that a lot of men have. Women have to talk louder. Let me break it down if you go back to history, why women have to talk louder. Because we have been denied so many things in life that we have to talk and let you guys know we're here. It's not all about you. We're here. We're the backbone. Maybe we need to learn how to, our delivery needs to be probably refocused and put together another way. But we have a right, just like y'all holler and scream and do the things that y'all do. What makes you guys right? I don't male bash. I can. I'm one of the best male bashers you can think of. But I don't do it all the time. Because you know why? Because I have a son. And I don't want him to think that's how I feel about our men.
Well, that's how a lot of black women feel about the men, because they always male bash.
No, I'm not one of them.
I didn't say you were, but a lot do that. And that's exactly how the stereotypical nature of a black man is defined, by the mouth of a black woman, because that is what is happening on the TV. All through the 90s, what did you see on the movie screen? Waiting to Exhale, Color Purple,
okay.
Room is a Bruce's Place. Everything that you saw on that TV. Well, I know who's behind it. I understand who's behind that. That's not the point. The point
is that.
I'm not saying, I understand who's behind all that. I understand. But the point I'm trying to say is, as you can see, when you look at, okay, let's look at it this way. Look at a picture where you see at the top, black person, whether a black woman or black man, and draw a line to the left and draw a line to the right. Okay? The line to the left, we can depict hip-hop music, representation. The line to the right, we can depict television representation. Okay? Now, an interesting thing happened in the 90s. Okay? In the 90s, we saw a split right down the middle of negative portrayal on both black men and black women. We saw it with the TV screen with the black women depicting the black men as deadbeats, this, that, and the other, and we saw it in the hip-hop music videos where the black men were depicting the black women as video hoes. Do you agree with me on that?
Video vixens, yes.
Okay. Now, of course, we understand where this came from. It came from the great white supremacy because, of course, in order for us to be able to have something, we have to go through the white supremacy to get somewhere, to be the voice. So we understand that through white supremacy came these types of portrayals. We understand that. Now, let's talk about the people who mimic and copy exactly what they see based on these depictions. Okay? I know as a man that a lot of these brothers who copy what they see, if they want to be the next, I don't even listen to hip-hop music anymore like I used to. I stopped listening to it back in 2000, ever since Biggie and Tupac passed. After that, I was done. But anyway, you got a lot of these brothers who look at the representation of a black man on the TV. They want the fast life, the cars, the woman, and that's how they're going to act. And with the women, you're going to see a lot of these women who bash black men, and they're going to want to join in the choir with that. That's why you saw The Color Purple and Waiting to Exhale. I think Waiting to Exhale grossed $14 million in the first week that it opened. And that movie was not about, that movie was pretty much about the failures of relationships that women have had. And, of course, the black men were the ones that were pretty much the blame for these women's struggles to find happiness. So that right there pointed a negative picture on black men right there. Okay, so what I'm saying here.
Hold up. Okay, now, if I'm not mistaken, Waiting to Exhale, one of them was an adulterer. The other one was an abuser. The other one left his wife for a white woman, if I'm not mistaken. So why is it that the woman's fault?
Did I say it was the woman's fault?
Okay.
I said it struggled.
Trying to figure out.
No, this is what I said. I never said it was the woman's fault. I said that it covered the struggles of women finding happiness through their relationships. You never heard me once say it was the woman's fault. What I did say was that on the basis that the women could not find the happiness in their relationships, that painted the picture and pointed the finger directly at the black man that made it so. So that is who really was to blame from that movie. It didn't cover the fact that the woman was the adulterer. It didn't cover the fact that the woman was this and that, doing that. It covered the fact that these women were trying to find happiness no matter what they were or who they were. A black woman actually wrote the movie, so I don't understand.
I
if
know,
a black woman's going to...
I know who you're talking about. Terry McMillan wrote the movie.
Exactly.
It's based on a book from Terry McMillan.
Right. So I never once said it was the black woman's fault. I'm actually speaking on the opposite. I'm saying that she's saying it was the black man's fault that these women were struggling to find happiness.
Okay. I don't agree with you on that, but okay. All right.
Well, let me ask you this. If you don't agree with me, and that's fine, I respect your opinion to everything that we talk about, but if you don't agree with me, why then did the scene when the lady was waiting for the dinner date, I believe it was Lila Rochon, I'm not sure if it was her or not, and the man never showed up, why did everybody in that theater that I went to curse the black man?
I don't know, because I don't remember that reaction when I went to see it.
Well, what was your inner reaction? Did you say, well, maybe he had a problem. Maybe, you know what, maybe he just needed to be taught or talked to. Maybe that man was,
No, hold up. First of all, he should have picked up the phone and be respectful enough to call her and tell her he wasn't coming. That's one thing off the top. You don't stand
right.
Somebody up on a date and expect for respect to come out of it. I would have
exactly.
Did what she did. So,
and that's right. You're giving accountability to what that man should do, correct? And that's what I'm doing for these women that want to act a fool.
Okay.
What's the
difference? Hold up. Let me say this.
What's the
difference? Let me say this. You know the other book that Terry McMillan made into a movie? Do you know the other one with Wesley Snipes in it? Do you remember that one?
What's the name of it? I'm not sure. I have to hear it. Because I'm not really a fan of Terry McMillan, I'll be honest with you. So I don't really pay attention to all of her works.
That's fine. Let me see if I can get somebody to remind me that movie Terry McMillan made with Wesley Snipes and... I think Latham played as the girlfriend. She stood by him. Despite how he did her, she wind up having a baby with him, and he left her. She got an apartment. She did everything she was supposed to do for him, and he still left. So she was a backbone woman for her man, and he still did what he wanted to do.
Okay, and what do you think I'm going to do? Defend the man on that?
What you gonna do? But I'm just saying, while you bashing the movie, Waiting to Exhale, let's go back to the support system the black woman has always had for the man. You know who goes to visit the man in prison when he correction officer, and I've seen it every day.
And that's fine. And any black woman that stands by her man like that does not deserve to be talked about. I'm talking about the women that act a fool. Why can't you understand that?
Because I don't consider them acting a fool. But you don't
well, what do you consider them?
I don't consider them. I think they're misunderstood. That's my opinion of it.
So you think let me ask you something. So you think a person that you see on a reality TV show that wants to draw drama, fight, throw the wig off the head, argue, they're misunderstood.
What did you say? What did you say? You said the P word, reality.
I know exactly what I said. I'm talking about an action. I'm talking about the women's actions and the behavior pattern that they show.
They're getting paid to act exactly the way that they're acting.
And I know a lot of women that I've encountered that I see based on clips that have been provided by us, basically from what I've seen on Sotomayor and other world star hip hop. You see a lot of everyday folks. I even see people here act the way they act, you know, in certain parts. I don't know some of these people, but I see some of these people act the same way that I see them do on the TV. And am I going to say they're misunderstood too?
Hold up. Do you ask them why they act that way, or you just keep walking?
Well, first of all, I don't have an opportunity to ask anybody that's in a fight why do you act the way you're acting. You see, number one, I'm not a guidance counselor to these people. I'm talking about people who I see randomly who choose to want to act the way they act.
You don't have a solution to what you're saying. You don't have a solution to it. You just think it's all right to call out their names. You think it's all right to shame them because that's what you're doing when you...
No, I don't... No, that's not true. That's not true. No, it's not. No, because when you're in the public eye and when you do something in the eyes of the public, anybody that sees that has a right as a human being to you know, talk about what they see. And if they feel that this person wants to act like a fool, carry themselves wrong, then they're going to do that. I mean, why is it that people like Kevin Hart can criticize black women, dark-skinned women, but why is Kevin Hart still as famous as he is today? Why are the same people that he criticized still love him?
Do you understand?
As a matter of fact, how come you haven't made a reference to Kevin Hart? You're a dark-skinned woman.
Because
he criticized you. How come you haven't talked about him?
Because I don't know he did anything until you just told me. Did you hear what I said? I don't deal with no. I don't watch Kevin Hart, so I don't
know. Okay. You don't know what he did.
Didn't I ask you that originally?
Yeah, well, I know what you asked me, but it's funny how now all of a sudden nobody knows what these celebrities do. All of a sudden nobody wants to know what these people do. When a black movie comes out, we as black folks run to the movie theater like pigeons to a bird feed. I mean, come on. Now all of a sudden nobody knows what these people do. I had another conversation with a woman who said that she did not know. She's criticizing Miley Cyrus for twerking, but yet she can't criticize Beyonce for doing the same thing with the booty dance. How come you all can criticize Miley?
Hold up. I'm not a Kevin Hart fan. I'm not a Beyonce fan. I'm not level of understanding what I like. That's fine.
That's great. But what I'm saying is, you may not, but what I'm saying is the majority of young people, okay, and these are the people who are carrying on this way, okay, the same people that you see acting a fool on Tommy Sotomayor's internet postings, these are the generation people who sit up here and watch the same programming that I'm speaking about. Beyonce, okay? Kevin Hart, okay? These people want to imitate what they see on the TV, but when Miley Cyrus goes on stage to act a fool, the whole media, and that's when everybody black wants to criticize Miley Cyrus. How come they didn't criticize Beyonce for doing the same darn thing on the stage?
Well, hold that. I'm gonna see if somebody's gonna answer that for you. Cause like I said, I'm not a Beyonce fan. Hold up. Oh, I got 505. Are you in the house? Okay. Do I have 810 in the house? 810. Hello, 810.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and you, sir?
I'm fabulous. I've just been listening in and, you know, listening to the show, and so...
Mr. Nugent had a question. Ask your question again, Mr. Nugent.
Yes. Yeah, how you doing, brother? I don't know what your name is, who you are, but anyway, my question is this, and I know you probably paid attention to a lot of the backlash that has been hitting the internet of how Miley Cyrus did what she did on that stage, right? You're familiar with that, obviously, right?
I am.
Okay. My question is, now I noticed that a lot of the vocals, the people who were vocally upset about this, was a lot of black women. Okay, a lot of them said, oh, you know what, she's stealing our dance. How could she do that? She looks like a fool. Now, my question is, why were they so critical to Miley Cyrus? And some of them were just outraged that she did what she did on stage, not claiming that she stole the dance. But why were they critical to Miley Cyrus for doing that? And people like Lil' Kim, people like Beyonce, they got no words for that. They sit up there and still support Beyonce. Why is that?
First of all, I can't answer that because, quite frankly, my man, I don't feed into that whole media type as far as that black women. I don't know a black woman that was upset or offended in any manner by Miley Cyrus doing the twerk dance or something. I personally, so I can only speak on my particular circle. And most of the backlash that I found about it was just simply the ratchetness as it was, and touching on whatever the singer guy was and stuff, and I understand his wife was in the audience and everything too. That's why, and she just basically looked at a plum mess. That's the only backlash I've had. Is as far as I've heard that nonsense about black women were upset she stole our dance. That's nonsense.
Well, that's what was apparently raised. A lot of black women were upset, and a lot of black women faulted Cyrus for stealing their dance called the twerk. Now, I didn't grow up in the generation of the twerk, so that's
right.
I don't claim that to be a black dance, first of all. But what I'm saying is, if a person can get on the stage and do that, and it's causing this much backlash, and so many people are offended by what they saw, and a lot of black women were offended too by what they saw, why are they not offended to the Beyoncés? Why are they not offended to the Nicki Minajs? Why are they not offended to the Lil' Kims?
First of all, my man, I've been listening quite some time. I'm glad she finally came in because, quite frankly, I hear you mentioning about Kevin Hart. And, yeah, you're talking about entertainers. Kevin Hart makes his living cracking jokes. All he said, he talked about with that's how he makes his living. That's his bread and butter, cracking jokes and so on. Beyonce is an entertainer. I mean, you know, you kind of reference him. You know, two different, you know, that's two different talk shows. We're talking about two different things.
No, it's not two different talk shows. We're talking about reactions to people's attitudes, the way they carry themselves. It's the same thing.
But since I got this opportunity, can I kind of switch gears here for a second? As I said, I've been listening in to the show, and I want to get back to something that you guys were talking about earlier. And basically the reason why I even called in general is, I don't know if you recall, my name is Lou Mason, as a matter of fact. You and I had a verbal exchange stuff on.
Yeah, you and I did. You were way out of order, brother. I remember your little mouth.
Well, I will say this, my man. You have redeemed yourself somewhat with me in listening to you as far as, you know, you saying, as far as not, you made it clear that you don't broad brush all black women and so on and so forth and everything. My problem, quite frankly, was the defense of someone that I want to get into is, quite frankly, I'm going to try to remain domain, but I call him Uncle Tommy. But this Tommy Sotomayor, you admit that you don't quite deliver, and you did say that the other night, you don't quite agree with his delivery, but here's what I have to say about him. Basically, what he is, in my opinion, I want to strongly emphasize that, in my opinion, I believe someone like Tommy Sotomayor, whatever his name is a disgrace to the black race. And here's the reason why. What other race can you name? You tell me what any other race where white people, you have ratchetness in all walks of life, black, white, Hispanic, Latino, ratchetness is everywhere. My problem is why you go so hard on disrespecting and broad brushing and talking about black women without any kind of solution or anything. Is he donating any kind of that money he's making from YouTube to any kind of programs to help, you know, young women who, you know, may have lost their way, to give them some kind of mentoring programs and so on and so forth? No, he's just going in, disrespecting, degrading, and so on and so forth. And that's the problem is, I believe he's cooning for the white man. No other, he couldn't do that. Let's say if he switched his whole script around and he started going in talking about white women, like, he'd be off the air. They won't stand for it. But my problem is with black men like him doing that to black women. I consider it coon for black men.
Well, you know, and I'm not going to speak for Tommy Sotomayor, but I will say this, okay? In me watching the attitudes of who and the type of behaviors that certain black women project, it needs to be talked about within the black community. You can't ignore that.
Okay, but again, my problem is, I agree. I'm the first to admit
it. But are you, is there solutions? Are you teaching etiquette classes? Are you teaching these young girls how they should act when they're
exactly.
in
trouble?
Exactly.
Well, first of all, how can a man teach a woman how to be a woman? Number one.
I didn't say be a woman.
Well, you're saying how a woman should act, right?
Be a voice of reason. She said be a voice of reason.
The point is, we can say what we desire in a woman. We can say what we like in a woman. Okay? And I have always made it clear to anybody that I speak to, what I desire is my type of woman that I will choose to date. And it's not what I see on Tommy Sotomayor's videos. That's first and foremost.
Okay.
And the second thing is, if this is being done to highlight certain behavior patterns that certain black women choose to use to depict themselves or portray themselves, then that's, if you put yourself out there, you're going to be talked about. That's anywhere.
Well, let me say this. Let me tune in and say this. This is, my biggest problem. As I said earlier, wretchedness is everywhere. I was a former college athlete. And do you know how many white women performing oral sex on the entire basketball team just because?
Yes.
Just because they want to and so on and so forth. That, to me, is wretched. Getting drunk and getting behind a wheel, to me, is wretched. So when I hear guys like Tommy Sotomayor talk about and just constantly, like, he's focused and concentrated, that's why I say he's cooning. Again, we won't get to him because he's not here to defend himself. But as I said, let me submit this to you, my man. I am a black man. I was born through from a black woman. I have a daughter. I have a sister and so on and so forth. I submit to you that when you speak about the black woman's attitude and so on and so forth, I submit to you as a black man that the overwhelming majority of black women's attitude is because they've been mistreated and abused by, in most cases, a black man. And they have an attitude, and I believe in most cases it's justified.
Let me ask you this. Hold up right there. Who... When it comes to the choice that a black woman chooses to have as a man for herself, who makes that choice?
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up because that was something I wanted that you said that I believe is kind of nonsense. Pretty much every man is on his best behavior in the initial dating, boy meets girl, man meets woman process. He's on his best behavior. Oftentimes there's a baby born or something, and they're living whatever by the time a woman finds out a man's true colors. I'm sure you put your best foot forward when you meet a woman and so on and so forth and everything. That's common
nature.
Yeah,
but you know what I do?
A woman allows a man into her life or into her bed or whatever this and that without actually really knowing it, again, it's gibberish because people put
it's
on
not gibberish.
Facade.
It's not
and
gibberish
really
because you're
colors.
Sitting there, then that way, then what you're saying then is you're actually saying that the black woman's mind is not as strong as it should be. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying she's not a mind reader. How many times?
Well, doesn't she have the ability to make a decision as to who she chooses to sleep with?
Okay,
absolutely.
First of all, let me ask you
and
this.
And so does a man. And so does a man.
So
my point.
So does a man. That's right. A man has a right to choose who he wants to stick his penis in. You're directly
that's
right.
That's my biggest
so
problem.
A woman has a right to tell that man to put a condom on.
And if he doesn't put
the condom on and he's in her, whose fault is that? If he turns out to not be what he claims to be, first of all, you have to be guarded as to who you can't. How long is it going to take for the black woman to decide? Oh well, you know what? You know, I think I'm gonna go ahead and give him some. I'm looking at what you're saying
and. You know what, being a woman and listening to how you're formulating all this stuff that you're saying, you do not really understand the woman. I think you what the black woman is. I think we need to. I think you need to study the black woman. I really.
Wait a second. You can't tell me what. That's an assumption.
I said you need to.
You don't know what I understand. That this is the first time you and I had a conversation. You don't know what I understand. I'm going to tell you what I understand. Do you want to ask me or do you want to assume?
Okay, go ahead.
Which is it?
No, I'm being respectful to you like you say we can't be. I'm being respectful.
Yeah, because you sit up here and make a blanket determination and a judgment without me giving me the ability to speak, then, you know, yeah. We're gonna cover it and tell you how I feel. I know how a black woman, I know how to treat a black woman, number one. I know how to respect a black woman, okay? I don't wear my pants off my ass, first of all. I never condone that. I don't like it. I see a lot of men that do that. I see a lot of men that sit there and say the same thing that Mason is saying right now, saying that they're on their best foot, but still can't carry a daggone grocery bag to the front door, okay, because they feel that that's what the woman's job is supposed to do. So I could recognize the actual deceit that these young men are, because that's what they've been raised on, deceit. I'm talking about the woman's.
I totally disagree with the sagging of the pants, and every man who wears his pants sagging is not worthy. I just don't go with that. I'm sorry. Because that's the. I'm listening to how you stereotyping your own brothers. I'm saying your brothers because they. You're stereotyping all of them that wear
because
their pants
I did not grow up in the time they had.
But listen to what I'm saying. You're talking about a fashion statement. That's a fashion statement. That has nothing to do with
I'm talking about a way of life.
Character.
That's a way of life for some of these brothers.
And
it's a way of life.
No, I don't.
It's not just
that.
A fashion statement when you talk to these brothers. Some of these brothers some of these brothers wear their pants like that because they realize that that's the way of life. That's their life that they live. They feel some of these brothers are in organizations.
So they're not lost. They're not lost and don't need help.
Did I say that?
No, I'm just asking. I'm asking.
Of course they need help.
So when was the last time you had one?
You know, I have no problem speaking to young brothers around my area and telling them about themselves. I have no problem. That's right. Where I am, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. In my area, what's the problem?
No, there's no problem at all.
Okay, because you're saying in my area as if it's a you know, yeah, in my area. I say it again, in my area, because that's where I live. So when I see somebody in my area that wears their pants off their ass, I'm going to tell them, pull your pants up. I'm going to share with them. I'm going to share with them. They don't give me no disrespect back, number one. I've never had any brother.
Stop. Say that again. Repeat what you just said.
The brothers that I talk to, then I tell them if I see them, you know, if wherever I could be in a grocery store, if I see a brother walking down the street with his pants down, and I say, hey, look, man, pull your pants up, man. Don't show off like that. Don't you know, put yourself out there like that. Pull your pants up. And I explain why I say that.
Okay.
Most of the brothers will sit up there and listen to what I have to tell them. Maybe a couple. I got one who wanted to get a little bit, you know, mouthy back with me. Okay, but like I said, I shared with him my views as to why I felt it was best for him to pull his pants up and not walk around like that.
Now you just said something. You just almost to a certain extent. I'm not going to say it out like I want to say it, but you said that it's a way of life for them, and they're these hoodlums, and they don't want this, and you just said you talked to some decent brothers who had their pants sagging, and they were respectful to you. But that's not what you were saying at first about boys sag with their pants sagging.
That's not what I said.
First.
I said, no, I did not say. First of all, I can't make a determination of whether they're decent or not, okay, until I finish speaking with them, number one. So when I approached the brother and I told the brother, look, they are not portraying themselves decent with their pants off their ass, number one. That's first and foremost. That's not a decent representation. when I finished speaking to this one brother who happened to be 16 years old from my community, and I told him the reason why I told him that he should pull up his pants, I spoke to him for about, I'd say it was about maybe a 10-minute conversation, and he pulled his pants up and walked away from me after we finished the conversation.
And you know why that was?
I know why,
you know
that
why
was.
That, you know
because
why was that?
Because he was made aware of how his representation affected others that saw him and himself.
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of that has to do with not having that. And a lot of that has to do with not having that direction and not having that sound mind. I'm the father of two sons. My son's age 26 and 21. My 21-year-old's in college right now. They tried that in their early teens. They tried that, but me as a attentive father, I didn't allow it. And I told him, no, son, you can't, whatever. And anytime I seen him ever trying to do it, I checked him quick, fast. A lot of kids, young men, don't have that. So it gets back to absent fathers. Which absent fathers, which is what I want to switch gears to, which is the problem with a lot of things. It starts with the black man. You seem to be, sir, with all due respect, and I say this with all due respect, you seem to be rather sexist. To get back to what you just said, the young lady, the host of this show, which is a woman, she tried to tell you that you don't understand a woman. You don't really understand a woman. You cut her off and you went on to saying, yes, I do. I assure you, my man, you do not understand a woman better than she does, because she is a woman. So that's why I get the impression that you're rather sexist. You have this kind of 40s mentality that a woman is supposed to. Excuse me,
Mr. Mason, you still there?
Yes, can I go? Let me hold on. Now, I just listened for some time. I just want to say this. You mentioned about a woman being the protector of her vagina or whatever, she makes the difference or whatever, so on and so forth. And I submit to you that it takes two to tangle. There are men are just as hoish as women. Someone made a comment on the page recently or something, ironically, a Puerto Rican woman was basically saying, she made a comment that I thought was just the most ignorant nonsense. And it says, she said that if a man should get a woman pregnant and he goes to her and says, well, this is not a good time, we aren't financially capable of taking care of a child, I'll pay for the abortion. If the woman chooses to go ahead on and have the child, then she shouldn't be screaming if he walks away and don't support the child. And I thought that was the most ignorant thing to ever come out of, especially a woman's mouth. First of all, if you can't afford a child, then maybe you ought to keep your thing in your pants. It's more.
Right.
It takes
That's
two.
Right.
If she's no more responsible for having that child than he is for getting her pregnant. She didn't get pregnant on her own. That's my biggest issue I have with some of the comments that you are making right now, as if ultimately it all the responsibility lies with the woman.
First of all, I'm going to respond to your comment about me being sexist. Number one, what Salita said was that she claimed that you're telling me that I'm saying that I know a woman better than her. I never said that. That's number one.
You did not understand a woman, and you said, yes, you do. And
I never said I understand a woman more than she does. That's not what I said.
That's what you implied.
That's what you're assuming.
No, you cut
I never
off.
Said that.
She was trying to explain, and you
no,
cut
no,
her
no,
off.
No, no, no. I never said that I understand women better than her. How can I understand women better than her? I'm not a woman. I do understand women, though. That's what I said. And that's your opinion. And that's fine. You can have your opinion. But if you're going to sit here and tell me about myself, I'm going to defend myself, first and foremost. Mason, you can get on here and be the cheerleader all you want. I'm going to let you know how I roll. And this is how I roll. I'm going to tell you how I am. I respect women. I treat women the way I want to be treated, just like I treat any person I encounter the way I want to be treated. But the bearing of the responsibility when it comes to a man approaching a woman is the woman's job to make sure that the man that is approaching her, just like if somebody approached your front door at your house, you need to make sure that that person is somebody that you know and you let them in. Are you going to let a stranger into your house?
In your opinion. In your opinion.
That's not an opinion. That's a simple question. Are you going to let a stranger into your house?
I'm going to remain Jermaine, sir, but quite frankly, that is your opinion.
That's not an opinion.
It's more the woman's fault than the man. It takes two.
It's not an opinion. It's a fact. Because a woman, in order to have sex with a woman, a man has to enter a woman. So I'm using the metaphor of a house. In order for you to know who is at your house in front of your front door, and in order for you to enter and allow them to enter your house, you have to know who that person is. Am I correct?
So you're saying all that to say what? At the end of the day,
let me answer your question. I'm glad you asked me that question. I'm saying all that to say that a woman should be able to look at the person who is trying to enter into her, just like you, as a man, look at your front door to see who's in front of your house trying to knock at your door. If you know that person, you're going to open your door and you're going to let that person in. If a woman knows the man that she's dealing with and is completely satisfied with how he is as a man, then she should let him in. And I'm talking sexually at that point.
I submit to you, and that's why I believe you sound, again, I say this with all due respect, that's why I feel as though you sound sexist. Because
why can't a man be more
vigilant in who he enters, as opposed to all the way being on the woman and who she lets into her? Why can't the man be more vigilant as to who he enters?
First of all, what you're trying to do is you're trying to twist my words and try to turn it into a favorable argument.
Let me tell you
what I said. Not one time have I ever excused a man who is irresponsible. Not one time have I ever did that. Okay.
Why are you putting so much emphasis on the woman should be the more better of a kind?
Because the title of this show is what?
It's the man's opinion about a woman's attitude.
That's right. And therefore, if we are focusing on the woman's attitude, certain women's attitudes, and why they act the way they act, then we could focus on ways to counter that attitude so that they won't have to act like that. What is the one way they could do that? Is to better be aware of who they deal with. Now, Mason, if this title was called Black Men's Irresponsibilities, then I'll be talking about the problems black men cause. So let's not sit up here and get on the soapbox and try to gang me. Notice what the title is, first off.
No, we're not ganging you. Don't get defensive.
Notice what the title is.
Quite frankly.
Really, to be honest with you, the woman's attitude does go back to the man. So this is a man and woman conversation. This does have a lot to do with the man.
And it does have a lot to do with the responsibilities that the women set for themselves to know what type of man not to deal with.
Oh, listen at you. Do you understand the woman? See, that's why I keep trying to tell you, you don't understand a woman. You can't even make that judgment.
So I don't understand that women have responsibilities just like men do?
No. You do not.
Women don't have responsibilities?
No, they both have responsibilities.
Okay, so I'm focusing on what the woman's responsibility is when she's dealing with a man. What's wrong with that?
I think the problem with you and the guy that you support is you focus so much on the woman's responsibility, and it seems as though you're giving irresponsible men a pass.
Number one, I never ever get, and I say this again, I'm going to repeat myself again because you have a problem listening. I never ever gave a man a pass on being irresponsible. I never did that.
I never ever did that.
Just like you make mistakes
in decisions you're making, women do the same thing. It's no different. So we really don't have a right to be critical of it.
You may not like that.
Can I call it freedom of expression? You're not a solution. You're not a solution to her situation. So I'm a human being,
and I have a right to say, hey, this person made a bad choice.
Go ahead, Mr. Mason. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can I pose a question to you, sir?
Go right ahead.
Related to the situation that I just told you recently on Facebook in the feed that we all were on the other night and have you, when the young lady made a comment about that if a man says he can't afford a child right now, I'll pay for the abortion and she elects to have the child. Do you feel like the man is within his right to walk away and not take responsibility for that child because he told her we can't afford a child right now?
Absolutely not. The man is wrong. And I'm not defending any man like that. And I would never defend anybody that does not show responsible actions to the situations they cause.
Okay,
that's
well,
not me. I don't give a pass.
Okay. Let me say this. Let me finish. Okay. So if you agree that the man should, irregardless, even though he couldn't afford to have a child, but he laid down with the woman and had sex, and they created a child. Why is it that you seem to feel so much though that it's the woman's responsibility to critique and do a better job of screening who she lays down with? Why don't you feel as though it's just equally the man's responsibility?
Because if a man is going to portray himself the way he does, as a baby boy, for example, and he portrays himself to be somebody who is a character off of a TV set, then right off the bat, that should show that the man is not being true to himself. Now, a woman should understand that, being that she's the gatekeeper to her own house. As a gatekeeper to your own house, you decide who you choose to let enter you as the gatekeeper.
But,
that's the responsibility that a woman has.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying to you.
I think I'm making myself perfectly clear.
This is your own world.
This is life.
Mr. Nugent, please stop for a moment. Let me say this. That's why I say you don't understand a woman, because let me say this. When a woman doesn't have a correct or the right type of man in her life, and I'm talking about a father who teaches her how she's supposed to choose the type of man in her life, then you can't blame her. So that's the problem I'm having when I say you don't understand a woman. If she doesn't have a father that loved her and took care of her and been there for her and been her support system for her as she grew up.
Well, how do you know she doesn't have a father?
That's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm just telling you, that's why I know you don't understand a woman. That's why you have to know a person from behind.
No, I don't understand
You're making it sound like she's responsible. Oh, damn it, she's done this. You are not even looking at the idea that there was no father figure to show her who is the responsible
person and who the right man could fit.
That's not true. That's what you're saying.
That's not true.
Okay,
let me let
314 in real quick, okay? 314, I know you've been out there. You want to say something, 314?
Yeah, I agree with Vernon.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
I mean, it is the woman's reason. Well, first of all, let's put it like this. The final say is in the courts. The woman didn't holler rape, obviously. So it's the woman. A woman has control of her body, unless it's rape.
Thank you.
And a man And a man has a control of his dick.
When a woman who lays down on the bed and opens her legs, then she's asking to have sex.
But the man don't become
pregnant. The woman becomes pregnant.
Oh, Lord.
That's nonsense.
They don't believe a woman becomes pregnant, huh?
The repercussions of it is the woman becoming pregnant. Let me say this. What you both are really kind of, it sounds kind of, I'm sorry, with all due respect, you both sound really kind of ridiculous, because as I said earlier, okay, let me give you another scenario. You know how a pimp knocks off a woman that he later on expects to be his hoe? He grooms her. He wines her. He dyes her. He spends money on her. He takes her out. He treats her like a lady, open doors for her. He buys her flowers and so on and so forth. And she has no idea whatsoever that what his plan is to pimp her out. He grooms her and gets into her head and so on and so forth, month, 2 months, 3 months, however it be, and then he lays it on her. Look, this is what I need you to do. So that's what you guys are not missing and stuff. You act as though a woman, she knows from off rip what a man's intentions is. I'm a man.
Are we talking about pimping? A woman that's out on the stroll got all her chances in the world to leave.
No, I'm saying, but if you saying the scenario I'm using, you got to understand the point. You got to understand the point I'm making is that a man can be misleading. So how is it a woman's fault that she's misled? A man wise and dies or treats her
women. Their story about there were women that misled also.
Later, so they got a baby. And he turns out to be a lousy father, deadbeat dad, and so on and so forth. So then you're saying, okay, it's the woman. Oh, whoa, she should have known better when he was putting on a facade in the beginning. That's
so
a
woman
that,
can't
that,
do
that's
due
why
diligence.
That doesn't make sense.
So a woman should not have no role in doing any kind of due diligence. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that at all, but you, the way y'all are putting all the emphasis and all the responsibility lies with the woman because she has a vagina. The man has a penis. He has to unzip his pants. He has to get in the bed also. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That doesn't make sense. There's nothing you can say to make me think that it makes sense.
He don't get in that bed unless that woman wants him to get in that bed.
Hold up. Let me get 937 in. Hold up, you guys. Hello, 937?
Yes.
Oh, it's a female.
Well,
hey.
Yeah, it's a female, but you may not like my answer.
Oh, Lord. I'm about to hang you up. No, go ahead.
No, hopefully not. Okay, here's my thing. When it boils down to it, because I've been listening to everybody, when it boils down to it, yes, when a man and a woman are in a relationship and sex is involved, if that woman says no, sex will not take place, period, not unless it is rape.
True.
Can we all agree on that?
Absolutely.
Yes, that's the truth.
Okay, so when it comes down to it, sex will not take place, period, if that woman does not say yes, irregardless if he unzips his pants, pulls them down, or whatever.
That's
so
right.
In the end, she has to make the conscious decision, is this the man that I'm going to lay down with?
Thank you.
And if
that's
I'm going, and if I'm going to lay down with him, am I going to, one, take the precautions to make sure, one, I'm not going to get no STDs. Two, I'm not going to get pregnant. So then that means you're going to have enough respect for not only yourself to protect yourself, but to protect him. And that is what lies in the problem. And then to talk about, and then just to piggyback on, I can't blame my attitude on a man. My attitude is me and only me.
Thank you very much.
But
you know,
you have to understand, that's you. You have to understand, you said some very key and profound things, but that is you. Lots
that's
of
a woman taking up responsibility
know.
For herself and not
but,
making excuses.
And I applaud her for that.
That's what it boils down to. Come on now. That's what it
knows.
I understand, but we cannot. But when does common sense come into play?
Thank you.
When does common sense come into play? Seriously, as a grown woman, when do you consciously tell yourself, I am a grown woman and I have to take responsibility for what happens in my life, irregardless that I did not have a man to teach me how?
Mm-hmm.
When
did
you take responsibility?
I agree, young lady, but the way you just presented that and the way you just worded that makes sense. The way these gentlemen are speaking, they aren't clearly making it clear. They just sound as though, and the perception is that it's a woman's fault to be the vigilant one and to always be the one that's responsible. A key word that you said there was in a relationship.
That lady says she'd been listening to us for about a half hour, and she understood what we were saying. Maybe the problem lies with the other people who don't understand what we said.
A key thing that she said was when in a relationship. What I'm talking about, the woman has to, when in a relationship, I'm talking about early on when man meets woman in the club, bar, grocery store, or wherever they meet. A man has his bases for he whatever. She gets involved with this man, she doesn't necessarily know.
Yeah, but even in the midst of you guys first meeting each other and you going out on that first date, I'm sorry, and I'm speaking from a woman's perspective who's in her 40s,
mm-hmm.
and when the bells get the dinging off, something's not right, you need to listen to it, because then that's when common sense comes into play.
Thank you.
Now, you can take that common sense and push it to the side because you may be, for whatever reason, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But then when that second bell goes off and you still didn't listen to it, and then when the floodgates open, and then
Well, you know what, sweetheart? Let me say this. Well, you know what, sweetheart? This is where I disagree with you with that, because I'm going to say this not to blow my own horn, but I'm from Flint, Michigan, and I'm going to tell you, when it comes to being a player, I was one of the biggest players, you know, you would ever know. And initially on, I had it all going on all cylinders, and so and they didn't have a clue what my intentions was. And so you can't say that a woman, she doesn't have a crystal ball.
So you're deceiving women.
You know, earlier you said you got a son, 21 years old.
But I'm not saying all women. We're not saying all women. But we can't say all women. We can't say all men.
This man's part of the problem then.
But there are women who are just as big of a player as men.
Could I ask a question, please? The gentleman said he's got a son, 21 years old. Now he says he's the biggest player of all time. So, come on now. Yeah, but he said he's got a son, 21 years old.
And you're saying that's
you gotta be kidding me, man.
I'm talking about almost 30 years before my son was born.
Look, man, you don't
know how old I am.
You're 51 now.
You're the one that was deceiving these women and tricking them, too. So don't sit up here and try to get on your high horse now, because
no,
you're the one that was doing exactly what you're looking to get.
Never mind the messenger. Listen to the message. The message is
a message, brother.
But what went down between your son and your mother?
You're doing something I never did.
Even with all the trickery that takes place.
Hey,
when it comes down to it, even with all the trickery, the woman is the one who has to have enough respect for herself to put a condom on.
Thank
to
you.
Tell
okay.
that man to
I
put a condom
that.
On.
I
don't
with
I
that.
Don't care.
I agree with that.
You know what? Hold up, y'all. You know what? We're going to have to talk one at a time. I hear what you're saying, Miss Lady. I'm going to call you Miss Lady because I don't know your name, but I'm going to say Miss Lady out of respect. Because I think I'm probably a little bit older than you, and I know about the club game. I was in the military. I met all kinds of women, and I've known, and I've had to cater and hug and pat back and rub, because these girls did not know. They had no clue of what was happening with them. I was there for them. So I can speak on that. That's why I said what I said the first time, Mr. Nugent, because I know what it is when a girl gets in a situation, or we call woman, and she's really not a woman. She's a girl in a woman's body because she doesn't have the mindset to do the right thing. So I have
exactly.
I have been able to nurture and talk and be an example for them because nobody was there for them. Those are the type of women I'm talking about. The ones who want to
well,
fight.
It,
and
yeah, but that's not a mass.
That's not a normal situation because.
Yeah, that's not a mass majority of the women.
Exactly.
And
in the army.
We all have catered to those women. We all have catered to those women.
What I'm talking about.
Yes, but in the military. In the military, as it has just came out in the news, all kind of vile stuff goes on in the military. So let's talk about civilian life.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold up. I'm in the civilian life. I'm saying when I was in the military, those same women are out here with me now. That's what I'm trying to say. There's still women. There's still girls trying to struggle. That's what I'm talking about. You still have to
yeah,
kill
but,
them when they take that uniform off. Those are the ones
in civilian,
I'm talking about.
In civilian life, I mean, when a woman goes to court, the court's in favor of the woman. How many? What? About 90% of the time. Come on, that's the woman's response. Well, let's put it like this: I have a daughter that's in her 30s. I taught her that it's her responsibility.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right.
You guys are missing my point. I'm simply talking about deception. It appears to me like you all, I understand what you all are saying, and to a large part, I agree as far as the ultimate and responsibility and so on and so forth. I agree it's a dual responsibility, but my point is y'all seem like y'all missing the point about deception. That's what I meant, the whole story about being a player and so on and so forth. Again, I'm talking about over 30 years ago. Being a player meaning.
Hold up, y'all. Let me say this. Lady Sage says that the military men and women are the biggest hoes. Okay, all right then. All right, I'm glad you feel that way.
Well, I don't say that because there was a black woman over in East St. Louis that was in Iraq that got a poor lie in her vagina. I know her father, so no, that's not true. She got raped and murdered.
I'm not even going to go to the horrors that I've dealt with in the military. coming at 18, 19 years old, have no clue of how to live, how to do anything, because they're coming straight from mama's house.
So may I say something?
Yes.
After you finish, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Okay. I just wanted to say, when I said that to you, Ms. Fugit, but that was the image that I had in my head when I said, when you were saying how the women come out, you know, ratchet or whatever you were saying about the negative things that you were saying that we portray ourselves as. Those are the women that I was talking about originally. Because
and
that's because that's what I'm familiar with. I know there's women out there responsible. I'm a responsible woman. But that's not always the case. And that's all I was trying to say. That's not all the case that we're these smart women and we know just who we're going to be with. Just like he said, deception is a mother. If you deceive me, you're letting me know you're this gentleman and you're treating me right, and then when it all boils down to you, just like the rest of them, I have to deal with that.
But the point I'm trying to – I got you, but the point I'm making is if you are deceived, if a woman is deceived, it's because she did not do her due diligence enough to guard her house. Oh, that's not true?
No, she was deceived. She's still supposed to
guard her house.
You know?
Well, yeah.
You got their responsibility.
Right.
We aren't communicating properly, guys. I understand you guys' point that you're making, but I guess the way that you're making it is I'm not agreeing with it simply because,
okay,
as I said, deception. You put your best foot forward. You date. You buy flowers. You open doors. You do all of this. And as it turns out,
listen,
once the woman submits to you and gives you, turn into a domestic abuser.
Okay, but you said yourself, Mason, that you were the biggest player in Flint, Michigan. Okay? So what you did, according to what you, out of your own mouth, you said that you deceived women, didn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so then you took advantage of the weakness that women had in not protecting themselves. Is that correct?
So it's their fault that they're weak and they succumb to my deception? That's what I'm saying. That's the thing like what you all are saying.
Did
every woman that you met succumb to you?
No.
No, only the ones that was weak.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
No,
that's right.
If they were weak, so where did the weak come from? Why are they weak?
Not guarding the house properly.
That's irregardless.
No.
Whether they're weak or strong, the house is their responsibility.
They weren't guarding the house. Okay.
I mean, if you're going to guard your house to protect your house, how can anyone break in?
Okay, hold up, you guys. Let me see what 813 got to say. Hold up, you guys. 813?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello?
Okay, hello. First, before I get into what I have to say, I'm going to say that if you're weak, you can't guard anything. Now, another point I'm making, okay, from another woman's perspective, women today are having sex at an earlier age than ever. And you are expecting a girl 13, 14, 15 years old to make the right decision about who she has sex with?
That's expecting
a little bit too much from a child, number one. I know what I know now because my father was there. He told me what to do, what not to do, what to expect from a boy. He taught me how to be a lady, how you get in the car when you have a skirt on or a dress. He taught me that. I would not know what I know now if it hadn't been for him. So having a father tell you these things is very important. And you can't expect a young girl to know the right things to do when it comes to a boy, especially if she's never had love from a man before.
Preach. That sounds like statutory rape to me, ma'am.
We're talking about women, not young girls.
Yeah,
no, it's not, because young children
are
having sex.
Not young girls.
But we're talking about women.
Thank you. We're talking about
women. But a lot of the people
women.
That you see in those videos are there in their 20s.
The brother that was on
the. But they still may not have had the guidance.
The brother that's on here who was the number one player in Flint, Michigan, you wasn't messing with girls, baby girls, were you?
It doesn't matter. You're talking about expecting people to be responsible for
their
behavior.
That is a child. That's not a woman. A woman is grown.
What constitutes a woman? Just be
by law.
Hold up. You guys. Okay, hold up. Let 813 it. You guys have talked and said what you had to say. Let 813 say her piece. Okay?
So what you're saying is that anybody 18 or 21 years or under is exempt from everything that you're saying.
No, we're saying that anyone that's a child, that's statutory rape.
Not if it's by a boy her own age.
Granted, she's a little younger as far as whatever, but even 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, again, I have a 21-year-old daughter who's just as naive as whatever, and I have to teach her and always constantly school her and so on and so forth. My point is, even a grown woman, I don't care if you're 40-something, if a man putting forth his good foot, he got his best on all cylinders, his best everything going on and so on and so forth, and he deceived her, and she ended up giving him the housing job thing, and she fought.
That's still the responsibility of the woman, man.
And that's like saying everybody who's divorced has been deceived. People always put their best foot forward in the beginning. Nobody has a stamp on their forehead saying, I'm an asshole, I'm a cheater, I'm a jerk, I'm going to leave you as soon as I have sex with you. Nobody does that.
Divorce is carried on in court.
But my point is that people pretend to be one way in the beginning, and then if you know what you knew at the end, you wouldn't do what you do in the beginning. Nobody knows.
My point exactly, 813, you should drop the mic and walk off stage now.
I still agree with Vernon. It's the responsibility of the woman. I'm not talking about no children now.
Exactly. We're not talking children. We're talking about grown women.
But my point is that, okay, you're grown, you're 20, you're 24, 25 years old. You can still make mistakes. The effect of not having a man tell you what you need to be doing can be lifelong and everlasting.
This is the reason why we have so many children born out of wedlock today, based on what you all are saying.
Exactly. Right.
Because of what you all are saying, you are not putting the responsibility on the woman. You're saying that, it's up to the man. Mr. Prayer from Michigan, let me tell you something, man. You the one saying that you were the number one player. You were capitalizing on these women's minds, man, if you say that what you're saying.
But
the point is, this is the point I'm making, though. Never, even if he said it, he took advantage of the woman not protecting herself. So don't sit up here now and then say,
They had
some mental deficiencies.
Hold up. Now, you know what? Y'all, you know what? I don't find it funny because what I'm looking at with you guys is he just told you he doesn't do that anymore. We don't never want to forgive each other for the things that they've done, but we can always point fingers.
I'm using that as an example.
He voluntarily told that information. We didn't coerce or coerce that information out of him.
Exactly.
If he threw that cable, he knew. He took the responsibility to throw that card on the table.
But a lot of young men do that. A lot of young men take advantage. Men are predators, and they are able to capture.
Men are not no more predators than you have teachers that's having sex with male students. Come on now, it's all in the news.
Listen, can I say something? Y'all making so much. They put so much emphasis on what I said about being a player. The point I was making, as I said, pay attention to the message, not so much the messenger. My point I'm making is that guys deceive. So y'all are making it like it ultimately is the woman.
And then you said that the women, all women are weak.
Can I finish? Y'all are putting so much as that the responsibility lies with the woman in guiding her house and so on and so forth. So I'm saying to you, let me give you a scenario. If I do all the right things in the beginning, I meet a woman
that's
in the grocery store or wherever, so on and so forth, and I got my best, everything on best cylinders. I'm whining her and I'm dining her and I'm treating her like a lady. I'm telling her how nice she looks. I'm complimenting her and so on and so forth. We date 3 months down the line and so on and so forth. And then it turns out that I'm a liar and a cheater, and I got 3 other women, I'm married, and everything, and so on and so forth. How is that woman's fault?
How is she supposed to know?
You just attracted to weak women.
Okay,
it may not necessarily be her fault, but once he finds that information out,
do you get that far with every woman?
It is
he did
fault.
Everything right. But she's still weak.
He said that he did not get that far with all women. That means that he was able to do it to the weaker of the two varieties that he went after.
That makes her weak because she's deception.
You guys,
how does that make her weak? Because she simply succumbed to my deception.
You
How does that make
she
her
was
weak?
Weak.
If she
how about the ones that didn't succumb? If the ones that did succumb to your deception, what about the ones that didn't? What do you could describe them as being? Superwoman? Wonder Woman?
Okay, so she was weak. She was weak, so she deserved...
That domestic abusers, it is a known fact. Studies have shown it is a known fact that domestic abusers are some of the nice guys you ever want
yes,
to meet.
Yes, they are.
It is not until later on when they get into a relationship...
They're usually your husband. That's why you married him. They're usually your husband.
Now she finds out she's been deceived. It is her responsibility to step away.
That's right. Once you find out. Sometimes you don't find out right away.
Hold up, stop, everybody. I know you guys are not on here saying that when you're in a domestic violence situation, that it's your responsibility to walk away. Let me break y'all down on something.
Yeah, it's your responsibility to walk away if you're in a domestic situation.
Yes, after you find out.
And I know from experience.
But you had a lady down in Florida, Marissa Anderson.
Domestic situations.
Yeah, Marissa Anderson in Florida walked away and came back and shot at her, and now she's doing time
in jail right
prison.
Now.
Well, she should have walked away.
Come on, guys. Are y'all intelligent as y'all sound? Listen to the point I'm making. I don't have a domestic abuser doesn't have a stamp on his forehead that a year from now I'm going to be beating you.
But we're not saying that.
If you say it's the male's responsibility to walk away, what time is it responsibility of the woman to walk away? She walked away and got a gun.
Why would you stay around to find out if she's going to do it the second time?
Hold up, ma'am. Let me say this. You said that you have experience with domestic violence. You were a blessed person to walk away. Let me tell you about my friend who's dead from domestic violance because she couldn't walk away.
Ma'am, I know people who have died from domestic violence.
Both men and women.
Situation
and I know
different.
People who died too.
But
yeah,
when
I know men
who
died
from not women.
Domestic. A woman
the majority
died.
Of abusers are not
come
women.
On
come
it.
On now.
And
I know men that got stabbed
who,
by women.
And there are a lot of women.
That's Al Green. He had grits pulled on him.
There are a lot of women who are abusers.
But the majority are not.
No, the majority aren't, but there are a lot that
I didn't
are.
Say that there weren't. We're talking about the majority here. I mean, I can say anybody is anything.
It's no different than you saying the young girls versus the women. I'm just making a point.
Okay. You guys, listen. We're going to have to stop talking over each other. We got 20 minutes left. We got to stop talking over each other, okay? Let's stop doing that. All I'm saying is you said you were part. You were smart enough to walk away from your domestic violence situation. Everybody doesn't have that type of bad mentality when you're broken down mentally, emotionally. You cannot
That's right.
walk away because there's a fear there. I can say this because I know what my friend went through.
And I did the same. I've done the same. I have done the same.
You have been able to. Let me tell you something. I interviewed a lot of authors that were in domestic violence because I read your book. But I let you know that everybody doesn't have what you had. Everybody doesn't have that. Every woman doesn't have that opportunity to be able to do, to have the strength to walk away.
Let me ask the other female caller a question. Were you weak for getting involved with an abuser? Did you know beforehand that he was an abuser?
Exactly. Thank you very much. That's my point.
No, I never said that. I never said I was weak.
I'm asking you if you were.
Now, I would have been weak when it took place. I decided to stay, but I didn't. I left.
Did you know beforehand that he was an abuser? There's
of
no way you can
not.
Never
Nobody
know.
Knows.
Exactly.
You never know. But
well,
I've
you
never
should do your background
that
check.
Nobody is ever deceived.
But you said that.
My
That's
point
what you
is,
said.
When it comes down to it, it's still, once you find out you've been deceived, it is your choice to walk away.
My point
and
is that
stay
you don't
there
know.
In the midst of it and continue
that,
to be deceived.
That goes without saying. That goes without
right.
saying once you find out.
Once
that goes
you find
without
out.
Saying that you walk away from
how
here,
many butt
you
kickings
out,
do you have to do before you know something wrong? Come on now.
Exactly.
It only takes
that's
one.
That's
but
point.
The point is that you don't know ahead of time that he's going to be whooping your ass. Because if you knew, you wouldn't get involved with him.
Well, you should do your due diligence.
Thank you.
Again, study.
My goodness.
But, I mean, but if we go back to
background
what we originally
checking.
Were talking
oh,
about,
on.
We were talking
never been
about it.
How do you know?
Come on. Decision to open her legs and have sex with the man. That's what we originally were speaking on. If
it's
she does not open her legs, not unless it's done by force,
and you should be responsible
no
enough, okay, to do background
place.
Checks to make sure this person ain't going to be whooping your
I've
ass.
I've done background checks on my daughter's potentials.
I think I'm all for background checks, but background checks don't tell you everything all of the time, especially if
it
someone has been
enough.
Charged. Especially if you have not been charged. It does not
it
tell you that the person is an asshole.
No,
it does
had,
not tell you that the person
whether,
is a cheater. A background check doesn't tell you about a person's character all the time if they've never been charged with a crime.
Well, yes, it does tell you about a person's character.
What background check you subscribe to where they tell you that this person is an asshole or a jerk? Please tell me, because I sure would like to know in advance every time.
Can I say something? Please, can I chime in? Can I please chime in?
Are you talking now?
I'd like to know what background company this is that tells you that the person is an abuser or an asshole or a jerk is
what,
going to cheat on you. I'd like to know.
My daughter was married. My daughter was married about about 15 years ago. Yes, they do tell you as much as you want. They if you go to try to get a job with a government agency, post office, they come all through your neighborhood asking other people questions
every
about you.
Every company doesn't do that.
Well, you got to make sure
really
do your due
sense,
diligence
man,
and get a thorough background check, ma'am.
Yeah, it's called responsibility.
Listen, you made an excellent point. Let,
okay.
let me just make an analysis. There's something that I figured out, something I noticed about the two gentlemen, and of course I say it again with all due respect. I noticed that y'all have a certain mentality and it's just a certain whatever the ladies are trying to seek, and y'all cut in and cut them off and so on and so forth. So y'all just simply have it in y'all mind that this almost a superiority type of thing, like a woman.
Nah, Mr. Player.
No, it's not. I replied to her as man.
Male chauvinism to me.
And I don't subscribe to that.
Come on,
y'all.
Don't try to play your role trying to make
it
up for that.
It sounds like a lot of male chauvinism.
And you was
what it sounds like.
And you were the number one player in Flint, Michigan. You telling us that?
And he changed. People change. Most young men are players.
I ain't never been no player.
Well, maybe you didn't have the qualifications, but most men are.
Well, I think I have some pretty good qualifications. I married my 10-year-old sweetheart. We was together for nearly 45 years. I don't think anybody here on this air can say they can beat that.
Okay, hold up. Okay,
listen,
everybody stop talking right now. My co-host just came in. Mr. Brian, are you there? Mr. Brian.
Yes.
Yeah, you there? Mr. Brian, they off the chain in here. They off the chain. Where you been?
I'm listening. I hate I missed it, but I've been taking care of the other end of the politics with the things we got going on here, so I'm just getting in on the line. And y'all got it going. I'm just sitting here doing the conversation, and it sounds like everybody's got their own points going. I just hate
yeah,
I went down at the beginning because I hate to get in the middle of the gumbo that's already mixed up.
Mr. Brian, we done covered everything from pedophilia to rape.
No one said anything about pedophiles. We're talking about children. My point
no,
is about children.
Having sex
no
with
one
kids
said anything
pedophilia.
About an adult man having sex with a child. My point was about children having sex at a young age, which they are doing now.
That's what
she
said.
And my point was that children, a girl child, does not have the mental wherewithal to always
well,
make the right
parental,
decision
that's some
when
parental
it comes
responsibility.
To choosing
exactly.
a mate.
Well, you
that's
know,
parental responsibility there, ma'am.
It's the whose responsibility?
But
that's parental responsibility there.
It goes outside that we're not putting enough pressure on
parental responsibility.
Preaching sex in our...
Most parents don't even know their kids are having sex. How is that parental responsibility?
It's parents' responsibility.
Most parents don't even know their daughters are having sex.
According to
the
court of law,
it's
parents' responsibility.
But
kids are still virgins. Please.
Part of the problem is if you say it's parental responsibility...
Kids are not. Do not tell their parents everything.
That's true. It's parental responsibility.
Hold up. Hey, guys, let him talk, please. Let him talk. Go ahead.
But along with parental responsibility is that we have to get off our butt sides and start demanding something out of society. When you, every time you turn on the TV, you can't even watch a G-rated movie without sex being put in it.
That's right. Right.
Correct. Or a commercial. All them hard on commercials.
It's been put in our children every day, every time they turn around from everything that they do. They lay, our sitcoms have them laying in bed and doing stuff and twerking and doing everything else that they shouldn't even be doing. You can't even watch an award show without seeing something nasty and everything. So it's been put in the children when the parents have, don't even have control on the least suspected program.
Mr. Brand, I got rid of my TV when they started showing same sex in the bed.
I raised my son not to watch TV.
You got to raise your TV.
It still comes down to parents' responsibility. If you don't raise your child where the TV is and watching them,
TV is not.
You have some parental.
You can't blame
rights.
The TV for everything. You cannot blame the TV for everything.
I got rid of my TV when they started showing same sex.
My point is that you cannot. The children don't tell you everything. And children are not always honest.
That, but he said
it's not
that the television and media that our children are seeing being sexualized.
It's not blaming the television for everything. What it happens is we have to stand up and start putting pressure on this same thing as the rap and everything else. As long as we are helping to produce these things, they're going to keep doing it. As long as we sit back and say nothing and say, okay, I'm going to take the TV out. We shouldn't have to take TV out if enough pressure put on. When those other folks want something, they put pressure on it to get changed. But we don't want to just accept everything.
Well, the only way you can change media is through advertising. If you don't have businesses, you don't command no advertisement dollar, they ain't going to listen to you.
That's true. That's not true. You also can change advertising not buying those.
Well, it is true, too, because didn't that Rush Limbaugh call the white woman a slut? And the only reason he retracted is when he lost 30 advertisers.
My point is that you can also find those advertisers and tell them why you're not buying them, and they'll stop supporting those programs. As a whole, we can't do it individually, but we have to do it as a whole.
And that's true.
And that's another problem. As a whole, the society like that.
Well, that's a whole other talk show, guys. That's a whole other talk show about not gathering and uniting and getting together.
Right.
We're getting off subject now. That's a whole talk show about, you know, about how we don't get together and how we don't, you know what I'm saying, white folk, if they want something done and not tell they get together and they gonna make it happen, they're going to make the right phone call.
Exactly.
And so on and so forth. We as black people, you know what I'm saying, we kind of just sometimes too much, we go along just to get along with too much things, you know what I'm
saying?
We just
need to teach our girls to keep their legs closed.
Teach our boys to respect women. A man has just as much responsibility to keep his zipper zipped as a woman has.
Well, that's what I said.
I said
girls keep their legs closed and boys respect women. That has to be taught.
And it comes with having self-esteem as well.
Now, you know, that should have been said better than that. Not girls keep their legs closed and boys respect women. It's that girls and boys should not engage in intercourse. You can't. If you're going to tell us to keep our legs closed, you need to tell him stop hanging his Johnson out. Come on, we can't do that now.
I teach boys to respect women, too,
it
sir,
like
Mr. Bryant.
It seemed like you two subscribe to the boys will be boys, you know, so it's the woman's responsibility when I don't feed into that. And I'm a boy, a man, I was once a boy, and I raised two boys and also have a daughter, so I look from all spectrums.
That's not what I said. What I'm saying is if you want to tell a girl to keep her legs closed, you need to tell the boy to stop hanging it out. But if you're going to tell them both just to not have intercourse, then in other words, it has to be equal. Don't tell one something that, to me...
Well,
sounds derogatory on one point, and it sounds easy on the other point. Don't give the boy the house. He has just as much responsibility as she does. So just like he goes after things, she goes after things, both need to have.
Well, Mr. Brent,
it does start at home.
I told my daughter what to do,
exactly.
And the boys that came over to the house, I told the boys, don't you do nothing to my daughter you wouldn't want me to do to you. And that settled it.
Well, boys didn't come over to my house.
And I bet you probably the first chance they got alone when you was at work or the first chance they got with
my daughter's still single, not married, and no children.
Uh-huh. And my son, too. My son is still single and not married and no children.
I do have one that is married. I have one, but I have no grandkids. Getting ready to just get a grandkid, but he's been married. he's married.
Yep.
So mine wouldn't dare get pregnant without being married.
But all I can say is if you if
never brought no girl to my house because he know I don't play that. I was not raised to have no boy in my house. I didn't raise him to have no girl in my house. We didn't play that.
Exactly. Right.
And so they go to a hotel room, a motel room. Just because you
know,
like,
I think you're stereotyping. I think you're stereotyping.
My grandson,
they're not giving our kids the benefit of the doubt that they're not smart enough.
Do you know what the teenage pregnancy rate is? It's very high.
It's not high. It has decreased. That's that 20, between 24 and 30 that's having all of, I mean, you know, it's kind of carried away.
If it decreased, it was high
it starts,
at one point. So my point is that teenagers, adults, whoever, people are having sex. But kids, we're talking about kids right now, they don't always tell their parents what they're doing. And if they and if they're not getting pregnant, maybe they're using birth control. But people are having sex.
And
you
that's
might not know
thing.
About it, but it's happening.
That's another thing. Not a law say that a girl at the, I don't know what's the minimum age can go get the morning after pill without the parental the parents knowing about it.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's terrible.
Well, they're saying parents can't whip their children either.
I ain't heard that one yet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you will go to jail.
Yeah, you go to jail. Yes,
but what you have
still
to do is do like
I still ain't heard that yet.
Hey, the host said recently that we got a short time. Can we have some closing statements here? I'd like to say something that with the whole show, which quite frankly, what I called in originally for, and it is simply about basically about too much, in my opinion, too many black men and whatever degrading and demeaning black women and stereotyping and broad brushing too many black women, and in particular the YouTube pimp Tommy Sotomayor. As I said, white people wouldn't stand for that. If it was a white man on YouTube
sure
degrading
wouldn't.
White women and so on and so forth,
he wouldn't be on
here.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yep.
He'd be off the air in a New York second. They wouldn't allow it. And I have a problem with so many black men allow black women. The queen, in my opinion, of the earth, to be degraded and demeaned
they don't
and
like
so on and so forth in such a disrespectful manner.
But there are white
That's
men degrading
true.
White people.
Now, Mr. Nugent.
Ban on YouTube.
Mr. Nugent, go ahead.
He's done that. He does that.
But
he's
you know what?
Good. He's an entertainer.
Hold up, you guys. Mr. Nugent, since you were the guest, would you make some closing statements?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for, again, inviting me on your show. And everyone that called in, I really appreciated the opportunity to speak and give my thoughts to some things. I want to say that I'm not a chauvinist. I respect women. I love women. I treat women the way I want to be treated. I'm not going to disrespect a woman. I never even laid a hand on a woman. I don't believe in that. But I do believe that when it comes to reproduction, that the just like an abortion is really up to a woman to decide whether or not she wants to have the abortion or not. You know, it's her body, you know, that she should decide whether or not she should engage in unprotected sex with this man. And whether he is deceiving her or not, the woman should have the mindset to protect and respect herself to the highest extent and not to fall victim to deceiving. So, you know, we know it's out there. We know brothers are out there deceiving people. We know brothers are pretending to be what they're not. This is nothing new. We know this. But it's the woman's job to protect her house and herself so that she won't be a victim of it. That was what my position was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree with you. I want to thank you for coming on the show. My closing statement is you don't understand women. Women don't understand women. Men don't understand men, and it's just like one big old circle, and we're just caught in the middle of it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to give my closing statement, you know, from the time to time.
I don't want your closing statement.
From time to time, when I have opportunity to work with the public school, I tell the young boys, I mean, this is elementary school. I tell the young boys, and these are black schools, I say, don't be fighting, and I say that don't be fighting these black women. Now I say like this, black girl, when time comes to go to lunch, you let them serve themselves first, and when you get off the bus, the first one at the bottom of the step, turn around and help the young ladies off the bus. and open the doors for them. So if you have problems with the way men act, what are you doing in order to make sure that that does not occur in this young boy who's in your classroom?
Kudos. Kudos to you.
I would like to say pigs will fly before you have a Caucasian, Hispanic, Asian man, or any other type of man degrade his woman on YouTube the way black men do. That's my closing statement.
Okay. Now, 314, right. Who was 314?
I just made my statement. Thank you very much. You had a very good show.
Well, thank you very much, sir. 937.
The only thing I have to say is this. Society in the whole, especially when it comes to black folks, we have accepted hip-hop, television, across the board, media, to disgrade not only our women, but our men. So until we step up to the plate and say enough is enough, it's just going to continue, and the cycle is just going to go on and on.
That I agree with.
Yeah, that's true. Now, 318?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Do you have any closing statements?
I don't have a closing statement. All I will say is that I've enjoyed what I've heard. I like the part where everybody's been respectful and been able to give their own information and dialogue. And I look forward to the next show.
Me too.
Yes, it was a nice show. I love this. But look, you guys, tomorrow night, we got some issues we're dealing with here in Louisiana, dealing with racism. So if you're interested, I'm going to set us up for tomorrow night. If you know anything about dealing with racism, please tune in, because you guys, we got to do something. We're dealing, me and Mr. Brian, we are dealing in some serious stuff down here in Louisiana. So we would love for you guys, check out Jonesboro. There's a page on Facebook called Jonesboro. I'm not finished putting up the pictures, but you guys got to see what's going on down here in Louisiana. So if you're interested coming in on the show tomorrow, please come in and give me your insight, give me your opinion, okay? Would you guys do that for me?
What time
does
your show start?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll see you guys. I'll hear
what
from
time
you guys
do your show?
7 o'clock.
Central time.
Yes.
Central time.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you guys, and good night.
Bye.
All right, thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.